Good afternoon, colleagues. We are starting a traditional series of press conferences in view of the upcoming general shareholders meeting of PGC Gazprom. In the coming 6 weeks, we are going to have 6 press conferences to discuss the major outcome of Gazprom's operations in the course of 2018, its future plans looking forward, and current efforts. As was the case last year, we hold these press conferences in St. Petersburg with a video link to a press center in Moscow. We have recordings available at gazpromvideo.com.ru, and also we have a recording which you can play back over the phone. Both Russian and English languages are available, and the full list of press conferences is available at the website. We're going to discuss today the mineral and reserve-based gas production and development of the gas transmission system. We have Mr. Vitaly Markelov, Deputy Chairman of the Management Committee, here with us, and also Mr. Oleg Aksutin, Deputy Chairman of the Management Committee and Head of a department. And then we have 2 members of the Management Committee, heads of departments, Mr. Sergei Menshikov and Vyacheslav Mikhailenko, as well as Deputy Head of Department, Mr. Vasily Petlichenko. And we're ready to proceed with your questions, starting with journalists in St. Petersburg. Tass, please go ahead. Good afternoon. My name is Olga Dzhaeva, and here's my question. With gas production growing, when can we expect, or should we expect, an increase of the overall 2019 production guidance? Well, our production plan does envisage production of 495.1 billion cubic meters of gas in the course of 2019. That's the current guidance. But as you know, we proceed based on the market demand. And as we saw in the course of 2018, our plan was had one number, and the actual number produced was 26 billion cubic meters more. So considering 2019 now, as of today, we have produced more 8 billion cubic meters of gas more than envisaged by the plan as at the current date. The total 2019 production is yet unknown. It depends on the total exports volumes and the market demand. But obviously, we'll get some adjustments, of course. Generally speaking, Gazprom targets its operations in such a way so as to have quarterly, rather than one-off, adjustments, so we do review the production plan regularly. Thank you. And next question, please, from Interfax. Good afternoon. Mr. Markelov, please comment on the statistics of fires at trunk pipelines in Russia. Is that in any way related to the investment you allocate to upgrade and maintain the gas transmission system? So is there any correlation of the number of fire incidents with the investment that you target to upgrade the gas transmission system? Thank you for your question. I would like to explain here that the reliability of Gazprom's gas transmission system is fully in line with global practices elsewhere, as well as the requirements. More than that, our numbers in this regard are much better than other players in the field can offer. In the course of 2018, we did have 8 fire incidents, that was true. Those happened on trunk pipelines. But if you consider the per-unit statistics, I can tell you that the overall numbers are very good, so the reliability of gas supply is very high. I'm going to give you some numbers in this connection. Now, the per-unit metrics, the average number of incidents would be 0.035 fire incidents per 1,000 cubic per 1,000 kilometers of pipeline length. That's the lowest number across our history. And starting from November 2014, we have seen a downward trend on the number of fire incidents in trunk pipelines. In 2019, we have had 4 fire incidents, of which 3 happened in trunk pipelines. One other incident occurred at a gas condensate pipeline. All of these incidents are related to a particular defect of stress corrosion. I'm talking about the 3 cases of fires in trunk pipelines. We undertake every effort required to ensure reliability of gas supply, and no off-taker was affected by the incidents in question. PGC Gazprom is undertaking an effort to do proper maintenance and overhaul of its gas transmission system to ensure a high level of reliability. Referring to your question specifically, we allocated about 18 billion rubles into maintenance and overhaul in the course of 2018. And in the course of 2019, there will be a further upside in that number. I would like to reiterate this idea. We have not seen any decrease in the volume of overhaul and maintenance efforts. More than that, in 2019, we have seen an increase in overhaul and maintenance works of trunk pipelines. So our reliability is at a very high level. Thank you. Next question, please. Tatiana Kudryashova, RIA Novosti. And my question is about Tambeysko field and your joint project with Rosgazodobycha. At a recent call, you mentioned that you're still working on the design concept of the field. And when could that be completed? What's the priority scenario for to monetize gas from that field? So this question is handled by Mr. Sergei Menshikov, Head of Department. We have a memorandum of understanding signed on the 5th of May 2017 with Rosgazodobycha. As part of that memorandum, we are undertaking an effort to understand the prospectiveness of this group of fields, North Tombay, West Tombay, and the Sisky fields. Following that work, we are going to define the configuration of this particular project. As of today, we have already outlined the basic layout, which has several options to monetize the hydrocarbons produced. We are going to look further into the feasibility of this potential project so that the parties involved could make their informed investment decision. Thank you. And when that's happening, we're still working on the particular layout and still looking into the feasibility of this project. Mr. Xotin is adding and following up on that. So the major monetization option would be to feed gas into the gas transmission system, while the gas condensate a fraction could be transported using other means of transport, such as railroad and truck. And one further follow-up question on the Tombay field. I understand that you're still finalizing the concept, but do you still have, do you already have the basic features, such as the production shelf with the Bovinenko field? That was known pretty much in advance. We're still working on the exploration, and as we have been discussing the concept, 3 different options were considered. Finally, we have opted for the Sineman deposit, and as part of that, exploration is already focused by the year of 2022. That is going to be fully completed, and based on the exploration effort, we'll be able to determine the final parameters for the project. There is still a range from, let's say, 52 to 80 billion cubic meters produced in the course of a single year, every year. And another follow-up question on the Yamal Peninsula. Bovanenkovo field has been launched already. Harasoveyskaya is under development. Which one would follow? And the next field for development is Kruzenshternskoye. That is highly ready for further development, and that is our pipeline looking forward. As to the timeline, we're still considering, frankly, and we cannot produce any specific date. And actually, we have three different options following our long-term strategic development plan covering the years of 2022 through 2028. Next question, please. Just a quick follow-up, if I may. Did you mention the number of 90 billion? No? What was the number in the answer to the previous question? Answer, it's 52 to 80. 52 to 80. So that would be phase one with further upside looking forward. But again, this is very preliminary, and we're going to have more numbers, more precise numbers, once exploration has been fully done. We are working on the Cineman deposit. For now, the underlying deposit is going to follow soon, so that's very preliminary. Question, okay, how much money are you going to invest into exploration efforts in Russia and abroad for the year of 2019, with a breakdown, if I may? And so, well, our plan is to invest about 76.2 billion rubles, of which 72.6 will be dedicated to exploration in Russia, and 1.5 billion rubles will be streamed into exploration elsewhere for underground storages. And 2.6 billion would be targeted to facilities outside the Russian Federation. Any further question? Interfax. Question on the Baltic LNG project. Are you going to have any foreign partner involved, like Shell, for example? Are you going to sign a contract with them, or no foreign partner at all? And also, what would be the per unit cash cost of liquefaction? Can you compare that with Yamal LNG and facilities in Qatar? Thank you. Once Shell offered joining the project, that was a different project. It was only about liquefaction. Currently, Gazprom has decided to implement a comprehensive project to not only to liquefy but also to process gas. That's an integrated project, and it has certain benefits on top of what standard liquefaction projects can offer. For example, we're going to produce 3.6 million tons of ethane, 2 million tons of liquefied hydrocarbon gases, and so on. So based on that, cash cost per unit for the liquefied gas per se is going to be quite good, because LNG per se is going to be only part of the total production. Referring to your question about foreign partners, as of today, we have only signed a memorandum of understanding with Rosgazodobycha to create Rosheim Alliance JV. So we're working with Rosgazodobycha, and we do have technological partners as of today. We are considering the use of Linde license technology. You may join the project too. The project today is ready for its implementation phase. We are doing the design now. Thank you. Next question from Vedomosti. Now, a quick follow-up, if I may. Since we have touched on the Baltic LNG as a comprehensive gas processing project, one, aren't you concerned that once all the good fractions have been extracted from the produced gas, the calorific value of the gas per se is going to be rather low, relatively low. And secondly, given that you produce all different products as part of gas processing, so low calorific value gas, where could that be in demand? Is it available in the Netherlands, let's say? Question, why do you think the calorific value is going to be low? Answer, because it's going to be 97% methane if you extract all the other fractions. And so, well, that project is comprehensive gas processing indeed. And the calorific value of the gas in its liquefied state is ensured once we follow all the technological solutions envisaged by the project, so we wouldn't admit that your statement that the calorific value is going to be low is correct. Okay, next question is about the Far East. Do you still maintain your plans to start production at South Kirinsky field in the course of 2023? And who's going to be the license holder of the technology and the equipment? Is that going to be a local supplier of the technology or a foreign partner? Actually, Arthur, we suggest that we handle that question as part of the press conference dedicated to the Far East. Question, do we consider Kvikta as a Far East project as well? Answer, yes, Kvikta belongs to the Far Eastern Gas Program team. Next question from Taz. When are you going to determine the final starting date for Turk Stream commissioning, and also whether you expect Nord Stream 2 to be commissioned on time, given there is still no permit from Denmark? Turk Stream is going to have its first gas by the 31st of December. The offshore part is fully ready. The onshore part was 100% ready on the Russian side, and it's 73.5% ready on the Turkish side. In November 2019, we would expect 100% readiness across the board, with further commissioning efforts pending, but still we'll manage that on time. And then our colleagues in Europe are building further distribution networks. So we are expecting it to be commissioned and the first deliveries to start in the final weeks of December. And on Nord Stream 2, we're going to handle that question in a dedicated press conference. And on the Russian side of Nord Stream 2, from Grazovets-Slavyansk, we only have about 40 kilometers remaining for Grazovets-Slavyansk pipeline. That's the part of Nord Stream within the Russian Federation. So the Russian part is nearly ready. And the part outside Russia is going to be discussed in a dedicated press conference. So now let's ask our colleagues in Moscow, who are available by video link. Any questions there? Anastasia Gorieva, who's celebrating her birthday today, by the way. Congratulations, Anastasia. Thank you so much. Well, I have a couple of questions to clarify, following up on those answers I have already heard, and then a couple of further questions from my side. My first question is the range of 52 to 80 billion cubic meters to be produced at Tombay field. Is that only the Sinemann deposit, or does that include the underlying deposits as well? So the range of 52 to 80, is that Sinemann deposit only? Answer, no. That's Sinemann plus underlying. We're talking about fat gas and ethane heavy gas, so we're going to be building up to 80 billion. Question, so the phase one is Sinemann, correct? And so yes, that's correct for phase one, and then we'll proceed with, we'll start with 52 and then ramp up to 80. Understood. And another follow-up on the Baltic LNG project. Do I get it right that you're considering a Linde license technology for liquefaction? But is that still the final decision, or is that still unclear? Answer, no. Linde is a license holder of the technology, but will have the final decision made as part of the design effort. Question, when are you going to choose the technology finally? Answer, we are starting the design phase now. Okay. After these follow-up questions, let me proceed with my own ones. In a recent interview, Mr. Merkelov explained to Gazprom's corporate journal that Gazprom is capable of increasing its gas production 20% on top of each design capacity for each individual field. So what would be the overall number should every field run by Gazprom get up to speed, full design capacity, and go on top? Like, what could be the maximum capacity per year? Do you have some numbers here? Gazprom's production capabilities exceed our current production number by about 20%. That's what I meant. Question, so does this mean 495 billion cubic meters plus 20% on top? Answer, yes, exactly. We have about 80 to 100 BCM of extra production capacity. Understood. So, but that would mean going up to design capacity or exceeding that. You know, production varies across the year. In winter, that would be maximal. While in summer, it's not. That's quite obvious. So if we were to be producing at our maximum capacity throughout the year, we would have had the number I actually mentioned. Okay, and then by the way, plus 20% on top, actually. Understood. And what's the target daily production for the Hill Company for the year average and also Bovanenkova maximum daily flow? And also your underground storages, the maximum daily flow from underground storages. So three questions, in fact, and then I'll have more. On the Bovanenkova field, the maximum daily production in 2019 is going to stand at 87.4 billion cubic meters of gas. In the following years, as you may have read in the media, further development of certain wells may take it up to 115 billion cubic meters per day. Question, how about daily flows? Currently, that's 317 million per day. Question, is that the target for the full year? Answer, as you hear from Mr. Merkelov, it depends on the actual demand and then the capabilities of our transmission system. It could be currently lower, but we can ramp up to 317 million per day. Question, do I get it right that you can get to 360 million per day once you get to 115 billion cubic meters per year? Question, where do you have this number of 360 from? I got that from Mr. Cheripanov, who preceded you in your current position. So he mentioned that number. Okay. With the 20% excess that we have just discussed, but the actual design capacity of Bovanenkova field is 350 million per day maximum. Okay, got here. 350 rather than 360. And again, I would like to reiterate this idea. It depends on the operation of our transmission system. Question, so would you ramp up to 350 million per day if you get to 115 per year BCM? Answer, no. If you divide 115 billion cubic meters by 365 days, you get a low number. We're talking about 350 as a maximum peak daily flow, depending on the actual drilling and output. But we could actually do more, but that would exceed the regime, the technological mode designed for each particular well. Okay, and one final question. What would be the maximum daily production in the course of this year across the whole company. Let me handle your question about the underground storages first, and then we'll revert to this maximum daily production question. So, with underground storages, the maximum output was 812.3 million per day. That was in the course of 2018, record high. And in 2019 to 2020 winter, that would be 743.3 million per day. Okay, thank you. So if you don't have the number for the whole company per year, so I have further questions on Hara survey. Okay, Anastasia, please ask one question on the Hara survey field, and then we'll hand over to other colleagues who have other questions. So, good question then. For Hara survey, when are you going to hit the plateau of 32 billion cubic meters per year? When are you going to hit the maximum design capacity? The Hara survey field, okay, the plateau of 32 BCM is going to be hit in the third or fourth year of this field's development. Speaking of which, starting in the 2019, we have commenced preparatory work, and we have a state expert review as well as an environmental review for offshore wells. Drilling is going to start in 2020 for the onshore part. And again, the plateau of 32 billion cubic meters per day is going to be hit in the third or fourth year as we feed gas into the transmission system of Bovanenkovo-Ukhta pipeline. Okay, thank you. Any further question? Dmitry Konstantinov, Gas Industry Magazine. Question to Mr. Vitaly Markelov. Mr. Markelov, what are the prospects of natural gas as fuel for the power equipment or powered equipment at the gas production pads themselves? We have seen some good examples at Kvikta fields. So how about driving the rigs with gas? Are you going to roll out that experience from Kvikta? You have touched upon a very important subject. Whether natural gas could be used as a motor fuel. Gazprom is actively involved in rolling out that project, because if you want to convince others, you need to do that yourself first. We are actively converting our motors and vehicles to gas as motor fuel. 50% of our fleet currently operates using natural gas as motor fuel, and we have taken that project further. You have rightly put it, Kvikta field has actually used liquefied gas to produce electric power for the drilling rigs. In regions like Kvikta and other areas with difficult access, that could be feasible option, but again, these solutions will be chosen individually as we do each individual feasibility study, and as we compare delivery of traditional fuel, that is definitely feasible for Kvikta. Thank you. Then I have a question to Mr. Sergei Menshikov. Mr. Menshikov, Hara survey field is the first project for Gazprom at the Yamal Peninsula offshore. Why are you going to do offshore drilling from the onshore pad? What would be the average length of those wells? What kind of equipment and technologies are you going to use? And what's the current status of the project? As I have already explained, this project design has already received positive state expert review on the one hand, and also the environmental review, and also for the connection to the gas transmission pipeline. The offshore wells are going to be drilled by Bentec rigs with horizontal part of the well going up to 1,000 meters into the offshore, and we're going to use a technology not much affecting the limitation of the underground pad, and we're going to use Russian technologies and equipment which we have tested at Bovnenko field already. Let me reiterate this idea. This project is currently at a preparatory phase with first equipment summoned for the hydro reservoirs for the rigs. Okay, thank you. And now I have a question to Mr. Vyacheslav Mikhailenko. Mr. Mikhailenko, what are the current development prospects for the gas industry in Russia, and how those new innovative technologies that we could use are going to affect the pipelines themselves, and how are they going to contribute to the environmental balance in the dedicated regions where those pipelines are? Thank you for a very interesting set of questions. And the key trend here, as you hear from Mr. Merkelov, is improved reliability of the gas transmission system. It's not only about improved reliability, but also improved energy efficiency, as we now see it. You may have noticed that Gazprom has focused on high-pressure pipelines as of recent. This helps us improve energy efficiency and per-unit metrics of gas transmission. On top of that, Gazprom runs a comprehensive energy efficiency program, which provides for decommissioning of obsolete, not up-to-date sections of the system that we don't use for actual gas transmission. In the course of 2019, we are going to decommission 10 workshops which are less energy efficient, thus improving the overall efficiency of the system. Considering new technologies, that effort provides for the use of all sorts of energy efficiency technologies, for example, reduced consumption of fuel gas per unit of gas transmission, as we use, for example, coated pipes, thus reducing friction and improving the hydraulics in transmission. We also consider or count here further questions related to low-emission combustion chambers. Gazprom is also involved in considering hydrogen mixes with ethane. So all these technologies and approaches do contribute to the overall energy efficiency of gas transmission. Thank you. Any further question? Good afternoon. If I may, Vitaly Sokolov, Energy Intelligence. I have one quick follow-up question on the Linde technology that you have already mentioned, and two more questions from my side. You have mentioned that Linde is one potential technological partner you are considering for Ust-Luga. Any other potential technological partners that you can mention? Shell, okay. Shell and Linde, they get it right, so you're considering two technologies, okay? Thank you. And one further question on the integrated project. Since that is a comprehensive gas processing project for gas coming from Nadimportaz, actually that gas is going to occupy part of the capacities in the northwest of Russia, transmission, and also probably Nord Stream 2. Are you going to reconsider development plan for certain fields in the Yamal Peninsula, such as postponing commissioning of certain fields in the Yamal, or certain reservoirs at least? Okay, the impact of the gas processing project. Actually, and the calorific value of the gas involved, actually, the development plan for Yamal does factor that in already. So the plans we announce currently, the dates we explain to you, already factor in the developments you have just explained. And one further question, if I may. You have mentioned that the main option to monetize gas from the Tombe field would be to feed gas into the gas transmission system of Gazprom. Are you considering a tool, any LNG project in Yamal based on gas coming from the Tombe field or any other field, let's say offshore Kara or the Gulf of Ob? As of today, we are not considering that LNG for Tombe fields. We are not considering LNG for the Tombe fields. Question, any further prospects for LNG in Yamal, also for the offshore fields? Thank you. Well, the long-term strategic development program of Gazprom does not consider those projects for now. Okay, thank you. Any further question? Anastasia, please. Good afternoon again. I would like to clarify, just in case, whether you have the number for the maximum daily production volume for Gazprom. If yes, then please name that. If no, then I have another question for you. You have mentioned that Kamenomyska field is going to be launched in the year of 2025 and development is set to start in 2020. In this regard, I have a question. When are you targeting Plato for that field that is going to be about 15 or 16 BCM per year, if I'm not mistaken? Do you expect to have a pipeline connected to the field, given the Simakovsky field, which you're working on jointly with Rosgazodobycha? And I have another question on investments, the CAPEX program. Okay, if I may. Okay, on the daily flow for 2019. So as of the 1st of January next year, we're going to have maximum daily flow of 1.473 billion per day. 1.497? Yeah, 1.4973. And on the Kamenomyska field, yes, 2025 to be commissioned and 15.1 BCM plateau is to be reached within 3 years from the launch. On the Simakovsky and Parasnoy fields, we do take those into consideration because, well, these are going to affect one another as, let's say, gas collection system, for example. They are located within close vicinity to one another and they must be in sync, of course. Thank you. And one more question from Anastasia, and we'll get back to a St. Petersburg conference room. So, okay, CAPEX. I have taken an effort to do the calculations to see that in 2020 and 2021, you are going to launch about 9 new fields, which is a great lot, frankly speaking. At the same time, you're going to be expanding the Power of Siberia projects and also Sakhalin-Khabarovsk-Vladivostok pipeline and run lots of other projects. Now, during your Capital Markets Day back in February, the CAPEX plan for 2022 onwards, you mentioned 1.2 trillion rubles of CAPEX per year. So this seems to be relatively low, like 1 trillion in 2020 and 1.2 trillion in 2021. So at the face of it, the CAPEX size is much less than the scope of projects involved. So I'm wondering whether you're targeting any upside in the CAPEX program. Thank you. Well, I didn't quite hear the final sentence from you because you were laughing. Could you repeat that, please? Question whether you can, whether you're targeting any upside in the CAPEX plan. If so, and if not, maybe some projects could be put on hold. Indeed, you have mentioned a number of projects that are in the pipeline as of today, and these are to be commissioned in the course of 2019. I can tell you that 2019 is not a typical year as compared to adjacent years, because we are commissioning indeed very significant volumes of new pipelines. Now, in 20 years of Gazprom's history, this is probably the first time that we commission more than 7,500 kilometers of trunk pipelines in a single year. Talking of Turk Stream, Nord Stream 2, and Pair of Siberia combined. So the investment size is record high in 2019, record high in the course of the 20 years of our history. Now, further facilities to be launched in 2020 and further years, those are related to the production side rather than the transportation side. Those require much less capex than trunk pipelines. We are going to expand certain trunk pipelines, of course, such as the Pair of Siberia, because we are going to have 2,159 kilometers of trunk pipeline with Izyska and Temanska compressor stations and in the course of this year, and we're going to expand that trunk pipeline looking forward. The same is true for Nord Stream 2. It is going to be expanded, and I'm going to take a broader view here with the Northwest Corridor included. So the numbers you have mentioned, Anastasia, were produced at the Capital Markets Day, and they are very much true to life. Now, we hear from Mr. Merkelov that we are going to commission a lot of facilities in 2019 alone. And given what you have said, the numbers are quite comparable with the CAPEX plan that has been in place as of recent and in the course of 2019. So the numbers are there based on understanding that we need to ensure certain volumes of production and certain volumes of transmission. So the numbers you have produced, the numbers you have mentioned, are pretty much true to life. Thank you. And before we get back to journalists in St. Petersburg, I'd like to congratulate Anastasia, wish her to stay in good health, and all the best to her, given her birthday today. So everyone joins in to congratulate Anastasia. Back to St. Petersburg. Any further questions here from RIA Novosti? Please go ahead. I would like to clarify license for West Kamchatka block. So you suspended that, you wanted to keep it, whether you have managed to do it. That's my question. As of today, we keep working on the West Kamchatka lot, and we're going to keep the license so that we could keep going with the works. Okay, we also get questions online from those journalists who watching us online. For example, Maria Grabar from Reuters is asking the following. Could you please explain the resource base for the potential JV with Rosgazodobycha for liquefaction? You mentioned in the press release that Achimov and Vesky deposits from Nadimportaz. Could that be Simakovskaya, Parusovskaya, and Sesparusovskaya fields? Or are you mostly talking about the Urengoy field? If so, what are you going to do with Simakovskaya, Parusovo, and North Parusovo fields and gas from those three? The resource base for the gas processing and liquefaction in Ust-Luga is going to come from Nadimportaz, so 45 billion cubic meters of gas per year is going to come from Nadimportaz to Ust-Luga. and that gas has a higher ethane fraction. So as of today, the project does factor in the existing, currently existing production capacities. Okay, thank you. And we also have a question from Ludmila Podobedova, representing RBC newspaper. She's asking about the role of Rosgazodobycha in the Tombay gas field development project. So what's the role of Rosgazodobycha in that project? Well, they're a partner of Gazprom to develop the Tombay group of fields. Further questions from Interfax, maybe? Yeah, just a partner. And a partner is a broad concept. Okay, if I may, I'd like to get back to my first question originally. What's the overhaul and maintenance plan for the trunk pipelines in the course of 2019 and the investment required? You mentioned 24 billion rubles. Investments into maintenance capex, effectively, for trunk pipelines. And any further investments, not only for maintenance, but also overhaul. Well, we're talking about maintenance here. So, what's the question again? Again, the question is the scope of works for overhaul of trunk pipelines and investment required for that. And so, in the course of 2019, we're going to have 840 kilometers of trunk pipelines overhauled. But then again, it depends on the outcome of our diagnostics exercise. It could be increased. The number of 840 could be increased. And considering reconstruction of the pipelines, we do have a reconstruction program. Reconstruction of the pipelines or compressor station? The pipelines themselves, okay? I think it's not significant. Well, my colleagues are suggesting it's about 60 kilometers only. It's very insignificant. That's for reconstruction. Most of the efforts dedicated here are related to compressor stations rather than the pipelines themselves. Okay, any further question? Yes, please go ahead. Olga Akimova from Gazprom Podziemremont. Based on the 2018 results, some employees of PGSE Gazprom have got state award for the design of Russian pipelines for gas transmission. So I'm wondering what other technologies are being developed by Russian enterprises for the purposes of gas production and transmission. What other equipment you working on as part of the import substitution program for gas production, transmission, and overhaul of wells? Okay, I can tell you that we have every piece of equipment required from Russian manufacturers, so we don't have any need for import substitutions, and we don't have the need for imports. And considering new technologies, okay, got your question. Well, obviously, our Russian local enterprises are working on that. You know that 100% of pipelines that we procure come from Russian manufacturers. So that's 100% import substituted already. And on top of pipelines, any other technologies other than pipelines? Okay, we have Russian-made compressor stations. We have Russian-made generator facilities, so finishing equipment. and completion equipment on the wells. I would like to add that on top of the pipelines and compressor stations and also for about 10 years or so, we have used our own dashboard for control of the fountain end equipment and the valves as well, as well as metering equipment for multi-phase flows. So all the valves, for example, Russian-made, the fountain end equipment, Russian-made, and we have all sorts of valves and flow control equipment for Arctic, as well as high acidity environment. So we have been running this press conference for nearly an hour. Two further questions, and then we'll wrap up. Okay, a couple of follow-up questions, if I may. One, Kruzin-Sternskoy field that you have already mentioned. Any potential guidance on the plateau volume? Well, actually, I think we have explained that 32 billion per year, that's the plateau, and the reserve base is rather significant. And then it comes to the question within how many years that plateau is going to be achieved, 3 years or 5 years. Okay, one further question to Mr. Markelov. You're considering Shell other than Linde technology as an option for the Baltic LNG project. And Shell clearly explains they are not ready to share their dying air as a licensed technology unless they are involved as a shareholder. Does this mean you're still talking to Shell as a potential partner to the project, to the shareholder? And so we're considering the use of their technology at our Ust-Luga liquefaction plant, and that technology is available from both Shell and from Linde. We have considered both solutions and their feasibility, so they're pretty much on par in terms of efficiency, so it comes to negotiations for either technology to be used. Thank you. And then comes my general question, the gas from Tambay field, which you're going to feed into the Bovanenkovo-Tatarzhok. So basically, that is pretty much fully loaded with Bovanenkovo. You have further lines in the plan from line 3 to line 6. So when are you going to start construction of the third string? Do you have the preliminary budget for that? When are you going to complete it? Thank you. Okay. I can tell you that on Harasovy field connection, well, that is going to be the start of the third string to Bovanenkovo to Okhta and the connection to Bovanenkovo. Well, we have the target of 2023 question, and so that's Bovanenkovo further on, right? Trunk pipeline, got you. And a quick follow-up question, Portovo compressor station, when is that going to be launched? Okay. That is going to be aligned with the liquefaction plant. It's with the gas processing plant. Sorry, that's pretty much highly ready, and we're going to be launch that before the end of this year. So we do see this facility launched before the year end. Okay, let me handle your question on the third string of Bovanenkovo-Okhta. That's 2023 to 2025, with several phases across those years. That's when we are going to complete the third string. I'm not going to give you any particular date currently, because a lot depends on the actual design solutions and technical solutions. Colleagues, I would like to thank you for your questions. This concludes our press conference, with the next conference coming on the 20th of May to discuss power generation. Thank you so much. See you next.